Right? Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. What a passage of scripture tonight. No matter how much I pray, no matter how much I try or prepare, I can never do this passage justice. Notice with me, if you would, God saw the resolve of Abraham. You'll remember that Abram, his name has been changed. In verse 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" Remember, we looked last week and saw that. God said, "Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a son, and he is going to be the one which I'm going to make your generations as the stars of heaven." Can't count them all. And Sarah's 90 years old, and he's 100 basically, 99, and Sarah laughed. And then she lied about it and said, "No, I didn't," because she only laughed in her heart. But because God can see the heart, he said, "Yes, you did laugh." I want you to notice the two men that Abraham's talking to, apparently one of them, it's a theophany. It's an appearance of Jesus Christ. Theos, God, phani, is an appearance. So it's an appearance of God on the earth. And you'll notice, we noticed that from verse number 26. "And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous." So we see that one of these two is the Lord himself. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 17, after he's had the discussion and the promise to Abraham that he's going to have a son, this Isaac's going to be born, and his name's going to be Isaac, which means laughter, so that you never forget you laughed at the promise of God. So I'll encourage all of us in this room, we ought never to laugh when God gives us a promise in Scripture. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And when we're in hard times, we should never laugh and say, "Well, I guess he left me this time." We should never laugh whenever a financial issue comes up and we just don't seem to make things work. And, "Well, I guess you left me this time." And the Lord said, "No, I didn't." I just remind you that whenever we sin on purpose, there's a promise that says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And we can laugh and make fun of the promise of God, but oh, is the price of sin high. Now, notice that then the Lord says this, and this is a great passage, and I hope all of us in this room can see this. The Lord said, verse number 17, and apparently, I don't understand, we're not there, but it's almost like he's talking to the other angel or to, I don't know if it's Gabriel or Michael or if it's who it is, but he's talking to apparently the other one. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth should be blessed in him." Why was God concerned about hiding the destruction of Sodom from Abraham? Because a little later on you'll find that Abram was the friend of God. And we don't keep things from our friends. And the Lord's talking, let's just picture it's Gabriel. We don't know who it was. "Gabriel, do you think I should hide from Abraham this thing that I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy Sodom. Think I should hide it from him?" Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people in this room, we were close enough to the Lord and he felt close enough to you that he would not hide the plans that he has from you? What a privilege. But then he makes a statement. Verse 19. "For I know him." Now what does the Lord know about us? "That he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." I find several things in this passage. Number one, the resolve of Abraham. As you know, my father left when I was a young man in high school. And my father gave up the privilege of... He's a good man. He is a Christian. I talked with him this week multiple times. But he gave up the privilege of guiding me in the way. And notice, if you would, I know him that he will command his children, his household after him. Be careful of those in this room, of the sins that we commit, because you cannot look at your children and say, don't do that, when we've put footprints in the sand and we have done it. If you lie, you can't look at your children easily and say, don't lie. You can, but they will only hear. They won't listen. I notice another passage here. He says, I know him that he will command his children after him. I know Abram that he's going to do what's right. And I know this, he's going to say, you follow me. Now, I hope every man in this room would say to your family, follow me. When we as men choose not to do what's right, we give up this privilege of having God know about us that we're going to teach our family right and that we're going to have them follow us. Because God knew good things about Abraham, you know what he did? He said, I'm going to tell him that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's not recorded that he did, but he did. Because you'll notice in verse number 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So apparently between verses 18 and 22, the Lord told Abraham what he was going to do. I'm going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the ruination that's there. They're wicked cities. They don't try to do what's right. They go after their own lusts. And folks, tonight, all of us in this room, we have desires. We have good desires. We have good desires. We have bad desires. Because we're human. Every one of us in this room do. But if you yield to the bad desires, you'll provide the wrong footprints. If you yield to the bad desires, you'll take your family in the wrong direction. If you yield to the bad desires, you'll bring the judgment of God upon your head, just like Lot did. Lot is a picture for all of us in this room to maybe hang in the images of our mind and say, I don't want to be like that. The Bible calls him a righteous man that was grieved with the wicked every day, but he wouldn't do anything about it himself. He wouldn't stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right. And so the Lord knew Lot, and the Lord knew Abram, and he blessed Abram and didn't bless Lot. Now, Lot had children. Lot had money. The Lord could see Lot's heart that he wanted the things of this life. Because he pitched his tent in this passage towards Sodom. There was an allurement about this city to him. A city of great homosexualism, of great sin and wickedness. And he pitched his tent toward it. He didn't participate in it, but he was willing to live among it. All of us in this room, you have to be careful. The people you run around with, because whatever their testimony is, yours is going to be. You go to the wrong cities and the wrong place, do the wrong things, and it'll affect your heart. It did Lot's. And I'm going to explain to you why it ruined his testimony. And I want you to see the difference between Lot's life and Abram's life. They both had money. They both had choices to make. Abram looked at Lot and said, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot was selfish and would not let his uncle choose first. He was proud and said, I want that. Because it was the most beautiful. And the Lord took the leftover and multiplied over how many times the Lot had. Because you cannot outdo the Lord. You put the Lord first in your life and he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you cannot count. But if you put him second and third, you're on your own. And you can earn some blessings, but it's like he says in Psalms, you'll fill up a bag with money, but it's got holes in the bottom of it. So the more you put in it, it just seems like it never is enough. The Lord's done more in Susan's and our life with percentage that we get to keep. Now, he asked for 10%, but I was taught 10% is the minimum. And I never wanted him to bless me on the minimum. So we always gave more. And we've tried to increase it more and more and more percentage-wise over the years. And you know what? He takes that percentage that we have left and makes it worth far more than what other people use, the whole 100%. I don't know how he does that, but it's his promise. Malachi 3, read it. I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. And it's that way also with your home, with your family, with your life. You cannot, now the key to it is this. I know him that he will command his children, his household after him. There's got to be teaching. There's got to be time spent with your family. There's got to be time spent with your wife. There's got to be time spent with your children where you invest your life, where you pour your heart out to them, where you pray with them, where you spend time with them. When Jeremy was a young man in teenage years, we'd go out in the backyard and throw the football around for a long time, just throwing it back and forth, talking about girls and how evil they are, how they shop and how they do all kinds of bad things. They require makeup and foundation and all kinds of stuff. And we just keep throwing it. And he was learning. His eyes were getting open, open, open. But I told him this. When you marry the right one, it's the second greatest blessing of life. The first is the Lord Jesus. But you can ruin it if you don't spend time with her and if you don't invest your heart into her and if you don't love her. And your children can follow in that stead, but you have to command it. I want you to understand something tonight. I don't believe in letting children go their own way. I believe in commanding them to follow me. Now, command, you don't grab them by the throat. I didn't do that. I just said, Jeremy, Pittman's going to do what's right. You're a Pittman, I'm a Pittman. You follow me, let's serve the Lord together, but you're going to do what's right. There wasn't like he had an option, and he didn't. But he did too. Did you know this? I want you to listen to this. My wife has a choice. She didn't have to follow me either. But she knows I'm going to go that direction, and I'm going to do what's right, and I expect her to follow me. But I'm going to always treat her right. But you know what I found out? One of the reasons I married her, because I found out she had the same resolve. I'm going to do what's right too. And two people are going to do what's right. It's a great blessing. So when I wasn't home throwing football with Jeremy, Susan's talking to Jeremy, telling him, you know, Pittman's do what's right. That's what we're going to do. You're going to do what's right. I know him that he will command his children. It takes time. It takes multiplied hours. It takes you opening up your heart and sharing with them your failures and your strengths. I'm sorry, when I get on this side of the pulpit, the devil's standing right here. And I got to remember to stay on this side, okay? That's a hard thing for me. You know, I can only think one thing at a time, and two things is hard, to stay on this side and speak. I can't get that. So every once in a while, I'll forget and get over here and, okay, I'm going back over here. I got it. So we're going to try to get that fixed one of these days. But I remind you that it takes time. It takes time to build a good marriage. You have to schedule blend. You get up in the morning. What are you going to do today? I'm going to do this. Can I pick you up? We're going to have lunch. Can we have supper today? What are you going to do? We talk about all kinds of things. We blend our schedules together every day. We talk about the blessings of the Lord. We try to make sure both of us know that we're nothing without the Lord and without each other. I know him that he will command his children and his household. That was his wife, all of his servants. We're going to do what's right. And he said, that the Lord might bring upon Abram that which he had spoken of him. There was a promise in waiting, but it required Abram to do the right thing. It required him. Now, let me ask you this question. How close were Abram and Isaac? Tell me this. How close were they? Do you remember the night or the day when the Lord said, I want you to go up and offer a sacrifice, and he takes Isaac with him, and Isaac knows everything about what's going on? Because he said, Dad, I see the logs, the fire, and I see the fire and the wood, but Dad, where's the sacrifice? He'd been there before. He'd done it before. They worship together. It's important that you worship with your kids, with your wife. It's important. Worship is spend time together with the Lord. You talk about the things of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. I think Susan and I talk about that every day, it seems like. Because every day he's been good to us. I mean, it's not like we have to try to come up with a list of things he's done with us. It's just been good to us. But I noticed this. God was friends with Abraham. Is he friends with us? That's what I want. More than anything else in the world, I want to be friends with the Lord. I want the Lord to know, one, I'm going his direction. And I'm not changing. Two, I'll do anything I can to help you, Lord. I'm at your disposal. I'm your servant. And three, I want to be your friend. Is that the way you are today, teenagers? Mom, Dad? So the Lord looks at Abraham and he says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Lot. And Lot thinks. Now, Lot is a mathematician. He says, Lord, now he thinks the only Christian he knows in Sodom is Lot. But he thinks, and as he's thinking, he says, surely he's won 50 people to Christ. He's got 10 in his own family. Surely he's won that many people to the Lord. So he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, 50 saved people. Now he knew they weren't doing what was right. But he said 50 righteous, 50 born again people. And by the way, a lot of born-again people don't do what's right. And this is the kind of judgment they can experience if they're not very careful. They get destroyed with the rest of the world because they're in the wrong place. And so he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous. Now watch, follow along with me in verse number 24. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Lord, are you going to destroy the whole city, including the 50 righteous? And the Lord says, no, I won't. He says, Lord, he thinks again for a minute. And he's looking at Lot's life and he's beginning to doubt. He says, Lord, would you destroy it for 45? No, I won't. Lord, 40? No, I won't. 30? No. And you know, as he's going down, I think the fear in his heart's getting stronger and stronger. I don't know how many people Lot's won to Christ at all. All I know about Lot is that he was covetous. And all I know about Lot is that, you know, I know he wants to do what's right, but I've never really seen him do what's right. And man, I'm really worried. Lord, if there's 20. The Lord says, okay, if there's 20. And how many of you know what it means to put your friends out? To ask for too much? let's see here. Brother Jake, I got some family coming over and we're in an apartment. Would it be okay with you if my 28 family members could stay with you for 3 months? Would that be okay with you? Well, that's asking too much. And I would really waffle and say, no, Brother Jake, I know it's asking a lot. Well, read this. Look here. Verse 30. And he said, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak, peradventure there should be 30 found. And the Lord said, no, I won't. And then he said in verse 31, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Lord, I've really taken a lot upon me to speak to you. But Lord, if there's just 20, do you see him embarrassed that he's asking for much, so much? And then verse 32, he gets down to the very bottom and he says, oh Lord, don't be angry with me. They're friends. Lord, don't be angry with me. If there's 10 righteous. Now, you know what? Now, listen very carefully. He counts up. He was good with math, but now he's got, he was good with math. He's counting up. He says, Lot, his wife, his children, and their husbands. 10. And when the Lord says, no, I won't destroy it for 10. Notice the peace in verse 33. And the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left communing with Abram, and Abraham returned into his place. Abraham said, I'm thankful the Lord's not going to destroy Sodom. I don't think Abraham realized the depth of a soiled Christian and how little a difference he makes. Lot made no difference. He was a Christian, but he made no difference. He affected everybody negatively. Look with me. Look in verse number, verse number 19, chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. Okay, now Abraham thinks it's okay. The city's spared. Well, notice what happens. The two angels came. God had counted up, and there weren't that many righteous there. I don't know how many righteous there were, maybe just one. Lot. I don't know that his wife was saved. In order to raise godly family, it takes husband and wife going the same direction all the time. Notice if you would. And Lot sat in the gate at Sodom. You know what that tells you? He was on the board of directors. He was on the county supervisors. He was on in the group. He was on the board that ran the city. He sat in the gate. That's where all the leaders sat. He not only was a member or a citizen of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was a leader in Sodom and Gomorrah and did nothing to stop the wickedness. There's no passage that ever said he prayed for Sodom. There's no passage that ever said he witnessed anybody in Sodom except on Judgment Day. And notice, if you would, he recognized these two as heavenly people. They're different. The world can recognize heavenly people, and so can sinners and Christians. Now watch what happens. He bowed himself to the ground, chapter 19, verse 2, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. No, you can't do that. This is a bad neighborhood. Oh, you can't do that. Notice what happens. He pressed upon them greatly. You cannot stay outside. And they turned into him and entered into his house and made them a feast. In verse 4, and before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Now this tells you why God was sick of this city. Because the old men taught the young men the sin that they had all practiced. It was a wicked place. The older men are supposed to teach the younger men what's right. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women what's right and to love their husbands. Titus chapter 2. And so all of us in this room, you have a place in this family, this church family, and that's to teach people what is right when you have done it. And to pray for people to do what's right, even if you haven't done it. And to make up your mind, I'm going to do what's right, if you haven't done it. Because all of us together, we make a difference on each other. Everybody in this room, you have an effect on the people in this room. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, and they called unto Lot. They knew Lot. And said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Bring them out to us that we can have our way with them. And Lot said, oh no. Horror of horrors. I've got heavenly men, and I've got heaven's citizens in my house, and the wicked men of the city, the old and young, and what am I going to do? Payday always comes when you do what's wrong, when you're in the wrong place. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. I wonder why he did that. Because he wanted to talk where no one could hear him, especially those two angels inside. Because he was going to have a very frank conversation with them. And he did not want the angels to know what he was going to say. Because he was going to say one of the most awful things in the history of mankind that he could say. And anytime you and I get out into sin, get out of the will of God, we have only bad choices and worse choices to make. There are no good choices. When you step out of the will of God, you only have the world's choices and worse choices. And so his choice was this. What am I going to do? I can't stop these guys. They're stronger than I am. Notice what happens. Verse 7. I pray you, brethren. How does he become brethren of these wicked men? Watch what he says. Do not so wickedly. And verse 8 is perhaps one of the most awful verses in the Bible. Behold, I have two daughters which have not known man. They're pure girls. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out to you and do to them as is good in your eyes. What a wicked father. No wonder no one respected him. He was willing to make any choice for himself. Notice what happens. Only do nothing to these men unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He was more worried about his reputation than he was his own daughters. What a sorry excuse for a man. Just saying it like it is. Every man in this room ought to die for your daughters and your wife. Not give them up like this. In verse 9, they said, stand back, get out of our way, in the Hebrew form. And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn with us. He came in to stay in our city, and he will needs be a judge. You see, he's trying to do what's right, and they looked at him. And anytime you try to do what's right, anybody in this world is going to say, what are you going to do, judge me? That's exactly what they were saying. Oh, you're judging us. We're homosexuals and you're judging us. Oh, you goody two-shoes, get out of the way. Watch what happens. And they pressed sore and he said, wait a minute. And now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand inside the men and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. So all night long, they're trying to find these men. They can't. Hast thou any here, any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. God sends angels to destroy wicked places, wicked people, and that's what he did this day. So Lot's thinking, oh my goodness. And they said, go get your family. Go get your sons, your sons-in-law, your daughters and daughters-in-law, go get them. So notice what he does. And this is one of the most horrible paydays in all the world. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You mean to hear why? If you don't live right, your words have no power. If I don't live right, my words have no effect. You cannot do what is wrong and have power with people. You cannot do what is wrong and get anybody else to do what is right. You forfeit your privilege of challenging someone to do what's right when you do what's wrong. Everybody in this room does. And Lot forfeited. Apparently his family saw him be weak and never stand up for what is right. Apparently, he never stood up and said, those men in the city are wicked and we're moving out of here. He never said that. He never looked at his family and said, I made a mistake 21 years ago. We're going to pack up our stuff and we're getting out. It doesn't matter. I've stayed here too long. I should have never come here in the first place. I'm sorry. Then he could have begun to rebuild his respect. But he never, ever stopped himself in his tracks, wicked tracks, and says, I've got to change direction. Folks, it's not that you got to do right all your life, but you got to do what's right from this day forward if you're ever going to have respect. You'll notice when the morning arose, then verse 15, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now I want you to notice, and there's so much in this passage that I just can't get to it all, but I want you to notice the results in Lot's life. He offers up his daughters. He loses all of his married children. And he's only got his wife and his two daughters that he has already tried to give up. And so the angel says, take your two daughters and your wife and get out. In verse 16, here's the problem. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. He didn't do right quickly. You can't waffle on that which is right. You can't debate the will of God. Is this right? Is this wrong? You know, we know what's right, and we have to do it. Or judgment always comes. He lingered. And you'll notice, he had no power with his own family and wife. The angel said, don't look back. Now notice the results. He's already lost his sons-in-law and his daughters because they looked at him and laughed because he didn't do what was right and they wouldn't listen to him. And now he's going to lose all of his possessions, and he walks out and he's taken his wife and his two daughters, and all of a sudden he pauses and says, I don't know. And they grab him by the hand and say, get out. Why would anybody linger? If God said, I'm bringing fire and brimstone down on this city, buddy, I'm going to find the fastest camel and whip him. Or start out running. Throw off my sandals. I'm going to get it. Why did he linger? Because his heart was there. Anytime you linger to do what's right, you've got a sin problem. So do I. Anytime I debate doing what I know is right, I've got a sin problem. Notice, if you would, they said, okay, look, now I want you to see the gall of this man. In verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. What? You're going to argue with an angel that's fixing to bring fire and brimstone down on this earth? You're going to argue with them? You've already lingered. They had to grab you by the hand and drag you out of the city. And now they say, go to the mountain. You say, I don't want to go to the mountain. You know what he said? Look what they did. They said, okay. Now watch what they do. His life is filled with compromise. Behold, now thy servant, verse 19, hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. You've already magnified your mercy. I've already found grace in your sight. Is he not? Isn't that not gall? Look, I've already found grace in your sight. I've already found mercy in your sight. You know, hey, let me go to a different city. Look at this. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. What a wimp. Look what happens. Behold, now this city is near to flee into, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. You know what the name of the city is? Zoar, city of palm trees. Lord, if you're going to make me get out, don't put me in the mountains. There's lions up there. There's animals up there. Lord, let me go to the city of palm trees. The angel said, okay, go. Lot lost everything. The angel said, don't look back. Because he didn't command his family to follow him. There are people that say, I don't believe in, you know, telling your children what to do and bringing them to church and I don't believe in telling them what to do. I think they got to choose for themselves. Baloney. Every child chooses for himself to go their own way. It's in us all. You have to show them the way by the way you walk, by the love that's in your heart. They see your love for your God. They see your love for right. And that gives them some incentive to say, I want to be like mom or dad. And then you can say, you got to do what's right. He didn't command his family to do what's right. Guess what his wife does? She's going back. She's got the same heart Lot does. Oh, I'm leaving everything behind. Don't look back. But I got to look. Anybody ever been like that? You're walking by the mall and all of a sudden you see something. You know you shouldn't look back, but your eyes just draw. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you see something. You know you shouldn't look, but you do the second time or the third time. We're just like, Lot's wife. Don't look back, but her heart was there. That's why we got to fix our heart, folks. If your eyes look to the wrong place, fellas, if your eyes look to another woman, fix your eyes. But you got to fix your heart first. Ladies, if your eyes look to another man at your work or wherever else, you got to fix your heart. It's not your eyes, your heart. Your heart controls your eyes. Your heart controls your hands. Your heart controls your feet. She's going out. The angels, I'll bet you, were a few steps in front and they were pulling them out and she turns and looks back. And judgment came. Verse 26, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. So now he's lost all of his children except for two, and they probably don't think much of him right now because they realized that they were offered to the wicked men of the city. And his wife just turns to a pillar of salt. And he knows God has no respect for him. Do you see the results of a wicked man's life? Even though he's righteous. Now the Bible says in the New Testament that he was grieved with the wicked every day. But he didn't act upon the grief. He didn't say, I'm going to stop it. He didn't say, I'm moving. Young people, you can have friends and it can bother you what they do. Change friends. You can have friends that it bothers you what they do. Change friends. If you stick with them, they're going to pull you with them. This passage is one of the most horrible passages in Scripture. God loves us. And all of us in this room, we've got to be like Abram. We've got to have mercy on people we see going in the wrong direction. And plead for God to give them mercy. Give them another chance. Knowing that God is a God of judgment. And payday always comes. And be sure your sin will find you out. Just like right gets paid back. In all kinds of ways, wrong gets paid back in all kinds of ways. So we have to choose tonight which way we want to go. One of the blessings of choosing to do what's right early is you don't have a lot of scars. You don't have a lot of regrets. You can look at your children and say, follow me. I'll never forget, and I'm going to tell you the story and I'm done. Now, you're going to think I'm crazy. When I was a teenage boy in the youth group, our youth pastor, who's now a pastor in Texas, has been for, well, I guess he's probably 65 now, he and his wife. He got up and he was teaching us. And he said, you know, do you guys know that you ought to respect a young lady when you're with them? He said, I'm going to tell you this. He said, do you know when I kissed my wife for the first time? No. When the pastor said, I now pronounce you man and wife, you may kiss your wife. I said, wow, that is cool. You wouldn't have any regrets if you did something like that. So I said, you know, Lord, at that point, I said, I am going to keep myself for the one girl that I marry. So when I married Susan, I've only kissed one girl my whole life. Wow. Is there a purity, a joy in my heart? But you know where I got it? It wasn't my idea. I got it from somebody else. Some of you, you're going to have to give the idea of righteousness to the people near you. There was a lady in our church. I'll never forget her response. That's crazy. How do you know if they kiss good or not? Who wants to marry somebody that doesn't kiss good? That was her statement. She had 3 children. All of them are divorced. She just died a little while back. One of them didn't even come to her funeral. Payday always comes. You make fun of sin. You make fun of something that's not right. Right. You make fun of lying. You make fun of stealing. You make fun of immorality. You make fun of pornography. You make light of it. You can't get away with it. There is a God in heaven that Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, beholding the evil and the good. Now, everybody in this room, I can tell you this, the past does not have to affect the future. Oh, I know we have wasted pages, but if Lot at any point in time would have said, wait a minute, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Will you forgive me? Looked at his wife, looked at his children. I made a mistake. I'm going to go like Abraham. We're going to do what's right. He could have stopped it and provided a future for his family. Because God blesses people that turn around in midstream and say, I don't like my direction. I, Lord, want to follow you. And God says, okay, let's walk together and I'll bless you. Proof? Do you remember what Abram did? Before this, he chose the wicked way of the heathen that he was with to have his first son. And God said, I'm not going to bless that. But Abraham had a heart to say, Lord, I want to do what's right. And God said, I can bless that. I know him. And he started blessing him. And the proof of it is he took his only son up on top of a mountain and God says, I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want to know if I'm first. He takes his son up on the altar, ties him up, puts him on the altar. He's got the fire right there. He's got the wood right there. He raises his knife to stab his own son. And I want you to listen to this. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, we'll get into that in a couple of weeks on Wednesday night, maybe even this Wednesday night. He raised his hand because you know why? The Bible says because he knew God was able to raise him from the dead. So I'm going right ahead with what his command was. And God says, stop! He looks up and he sees a lamb caught in a thicket. He just wanted to see if Abram really loved him. Can I ask you a question? Do you really love the Lord? Enough to say, I'll do what's right no matter what. That's the question tonight. God always blesses right. He always punishes wrong. And that will not change until we're called home to heaven. And that's the reason why I like to be a pastor and say, I know how you can be the richest people on earth. Oh, maybe not with money. But I know how God can bless you more, far more than you could ever imagine. But you just got to do one thing. You got to put him first. And he's got to know it. Tonight, are you in the middle of the stream of God's blessing? If you're not, you can be. And if you are, purpose in your heart, I'm going to stay there no matter what. Because the old devil will try every way in the world to pull you out of the way. What a joy to know that Abraham did what was right. And you know, it doesn't stop here. Lot continues on in sin next week. And it gets worse. Because until you stop sin, sin will finally destroy you. There's no little bit of ground. It's all or nothing. Tonight, who's first? Let's bow our heads forward in prayer tonight. We notice the resolve of Abraham. We notice the ruin of the city. And we can see the results of Lot and his sin. Tonight, maybe there's someone you need to be an Abraham tonight. There's someone you need to pray for. You need to stand up for somebody. Maybe family members. Maybe somebody at work. You need to stand up for them. They're not planning on doing what's right, but you're going to stand up for them anyway. Tonight, we're going to sing Just As I Am. And could I challenge you to come tonight and just say, Lord, you've burdened my heart to pray for so-and-so, to pray for such-and-such. I don't want them to experience the judgment of God. Why don't you come tonight and pour your heart out for those people like Abraham did? Lord, don't be angry with me, but please. And maybe you're here tonight and you've not quite made up your mind to do what is right. Why don't you come and say, Lord, tonight I'm going to drive a stake in the ground. I'm going to do what's right. Because right always pays. Lord Jesus, would you bless tonight? Lord, these are some of the sweetest and finest people on the face of the earth. Lord, you know that. And I plead that you'd bless them. Lord, bless them with one thing, a heart to do what's right more than anything else in the world. Lord, I plead for you to do that. If there are any here tonight, Lord, that are wayward and not doing the right thing, Lord, I wouldn't know that necessarily. Lord, I wouldn't know what a person looks at on their computer or what they do at work or in their own homes. But Lord, you do. Would you touch their heart and draw them to yourself that you might bless them? Now speak to us tonight. Dear Holy Spirit, take free reign in this service. I plead with you.